Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Knowing is Knowing. I'm your host, Rashad Young, and as always, I appreciate you guys tuning in to a brand new episode. As we wrap up the new year, I wanted to honor all the guests that have joined, and I have a couple episodes I feel like you guys will appreciate. This next guest, Amber Eisenberg, who is a mindset coach. And if anybody like me, when you go into the new year, you want to try to find new ways to get your mindset to be better. Amber does an amazing job of not only telling her story, but also just answering some of the questions of what it means to become better in the mind. So if this episode is for you, if you like to learn about mindset and all that stuff, Amber's your person. Her information will be in the episode description. As always, thank you again for joining in on the episode Knowing is Knowing. Hope you guys have an amazing new year. God bless.
All right, perfect. Well, Amber, thank you so much for joining today's episode. I'm super excited to connect with you in chat. I like to say that a lot of these conversations for me is, one, to get a chance to know the person, but also to humanize the experience of who somebody is. I think it's very easy to see people based off of their careers and what they do, but there's always so much more to that. And so my first question that I like to ask all my guests is, who are you to the world?
Oh, I love that question.
Your own introduction.
Yeah. No, and I also like the word you used, the first thing you said was looking forward to connect. And that's such a strong piece of who I am. I think my top value every time I break it down is connection. You know, connection is like the core of what I believe I'm here for, really.
Yeah.
I would make the argument everyone, to be honest. But to answer the question who I am, I think educator is a strong word for that too. You know, I am a special education teacher in the Pittsburgh Public Schools in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I've been doing this. This is my 11th year that I'll be wrapping up. Wow. So I've been a teacher for 11 years. And I just started softball coaching 10U little girls. And I'm a life coach. And, you know, the intersectionality of all of that is educating, right? It doesn't matter what I'm educating, what I'm teaching people about. I love it. It's who I am, you know.
Well, first and foremost, happy Teacher Appreciation Week. One educator to the next. This is our week to shine and connect. So yeah. I just wanted to say that. Thank you for all the work that you do. Education, as you know, is a very interesting space. Requires a lot of work and practice, and obviously in the area that you work in. That I'm curious to know, like, what got you with students with needs?
When I first went to college, I wanted to do high school math, so it had nothing to do with special education. But I got a job in college as a work study student at a nearby day school for students with pretty severe disabilities. And I did that all through college every single year. There was one semester that I had another job also, and I wasn't allowed because the work study is like, you know, it's like money to help you out financially, and you can't do two. So if you have one job, then you can't qualify for the other one or whatever. And I ended up volunteering that semester because I loved it so much. I would not give it up. And it was about halfway through my time there that, you know, the teachers that worked there, I was just supporting them, but they told me over and over again, they're like, you should be doing this. Like, why are you not getting special education? And I said over and over, I said, you know, I like it. I love it, but I'm just doing what you're telling me to do. I don't think I'm actually anything special. And then over the years though, I saw that it really did click for me in a way that it didn't click for everybody. And back to that point of connecting with kids with really high needs, it's hard. It's not something everyone can do. And so when you find out it's something you can do, there's a value in that, not just for yourself, but for them, big time for them, right? So it just hit a point, I think it was the end of my sophomore year in college, that I switched gears and dove into special education.
Oh, I love that. You mentioned high school math, so I get it. I originally wanted to do middle school history. I figured out really quick. I did not want to work with them. Thought it was great, but you know, when you're working with kids, usually it just kind of falls into your lap as far as like what it makes more sense to you. I guess my next question for you is working with kids with needs. Not everybody understands the world of that. What do you think is one big misconception that comes from that world?
Yeah, I think this is what you mean. Well, this is what came to mind when you said that, when you said all of
Sure.
that. In my opinion, I work with kids with autism,
Yeah.
and over the years, I've worked with kids with all different kinds of autism. Autism is different in every single person that it presents in. And I
Spectrum.
think one of the biggest misconceptions that also can make me angry is that if they can't communicate with you smoothly and easily, a lot of people underestimate their ability to understand. And they'll talk in front of them in a way you wouldn't do. They'll underestimate their abilities.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the hugest misconceptions with anyone with special needs, is that that there's a lack of understanding somewhere, when really the receptive ability is way higher than the expressive. And if we
Yeah.
just judge based on the expressive, then you're gonna really lose out on so many opportunities in teaching that child and getting to know that child and allowing that child to get to know you. Because even if a kid doesn't know who I am and I continually tell them, I don't stop telling them or reminding them why I'm there or telling them that I care, just because they can't reiterate that back to me, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that makes sense. I think, yeah, it's oftentimes the misunderstanding of how something is not expressed versus what they can understand. Working very seldomly with students with autism and other things, that was one of the things I had to learn relatively quick was like, you know, these kids do understand. They just have a different way of going about it. And so it's like, how do you meet them in the middle with that? So being in education as long as you have been, what keeps you going in that space, especially with a place that has very high turnover in today's time?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I'm not sure I want to stay to retirement.
Okay.
I love what I do, but when I say that, what I mean is I love my students. I love teaching them. Like I love actually the act of teaching and educating and watching
Yeah.
kids understand things and connecting with them. I personally feel, though, and I think a lot of educators would agree with me, that unfortunately, I don't even think that's 50% of the job.
No.
There's so
Not at
many
all.
other things
Not at
that
all.
take my time, and I don't feel like my well-being is prioritized, or almost like I'm not allowed to prioritize my own well-being. I
Right.
fight against that really hard. So
Yeah.
the system, I have a lot of issues with the system, but the teaching, the being there for my students, the actual act of educating, I love, and that's why I show up. That's why I still show up.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, that was one of the reasons I stopped teaching. It was the systematic standpoint. I taught briefly, and I was more like a building sub. I'm not gonna say there's like I did a whole year. I did like 6 months. So I was like K through six, and each day I was a different teacher, regardless of, I mean, if a teacher was out. So I learned really quick, not for me. And then I did higher ed for a bit, a couple years, and then I did middle school counseling, and now I'm actually back in my high school here in St. Louis, which is a full 360. Never thought I'd be back in my high school, let alone be their high school counselor. So they don't even call me Mr. Young, and they call me Unc. I don't know how I feel about that too. It's like, you know, I just turned 30, and it's like, oh, you Unc now. I don't know how he got to that point. I didn't, you know, I didn't sign the contract, but that's what they called me.
They decided, that's it.
They made a unanimous decision. Some of the seniors are, well, not some, all the seniors are graduating this
Aww.
weekend. So a little bittersweet for those I definitely connected with, and one of them actually has my number because of the group stuff we in. He's like, Unc, I'm gonna miss you, man. And I was like, you didn't graduate till Sunday, man. We can
Well,
hold you back. I can hold you back another year if I like. But I want to switch into life coaching. I feel like life coaching is getting very popular in today's time. I feel like a lot of people are getting into that space. What got you into becoming or wanting to become a life coach?
Well, the first thing was realizing that maybe I didn't want to be a teacher forever. You know, that was not something I thought when I first got into it. And then after being in for 4 or 5 years, I thought, I don't know if this is what I do forever. You know, I like the idea of maybe having another career, but I didn't know what that would look like. And at the same time, I got really obsessed with decluttering. You know, I was reading the Marie Kondo and I was just like into all of that. And I actually was hired by a few people to help them with their homes. And I jokingly referred to myself as someone's life coach. I said, oh, I'm basically her life coach. And then I paused for a minute and was like, all right, I said that as a joke, but is that a thing? That's a thing. So I looked into it, and this was like, this would have been spring of 2019. I actually signed up for an intensive life coaching program at it's called the Health Coach Institute, and I came out of that 6 months to a year later certified as a health coach and life coach. And that program was ICF accredited, so there's no legal licensor for a coach, but there is an organization called the International Coaching Federation that kind of gives their stamp of approval on certain programs. And so I made sure that that was, I mean, it's the highest credential you could really have if that's what you're looking for. You know, not to say that it's required, but it was important to me to have something under my belt like that. So after I did that, I actually, that's when the pandemic hit. I started dating my husband. A few months after that, I bought a house. Then I got a different, like I still stayed in my in the same district, but I got a different teaching job. So that kind of refreshed me a little bit. And so there were just a bunch of things back to back to back to back that happened that sort of pulled me away from it. So I didn't continue to pursue right then and there, but I had the certification and just kind of sat with it for a few years. And then it was January of 2024, so like a year and a half ago, that I had one random conversation with one friend that just made everything like click back into place. And I've been pursuing it aggressively since then. I just love the idea. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know if you froze,
Okay,
but
no, love that. Love that.
ultimately, I just love the idea of helping people live
Sure.
more fulfilling lives. You know, I love my life so much, even when it's hard and shitty, you know. I can see the value in it, and I feel gratitude for so many little things, and I just would love to share that skill and that practice with anyone who wants it.
Yeah, no, I think that's beautiful. I love that. It's to life coaching, and your clients traditionally are, is it women? Is it young people? Is it old people? Who do you typically work as a life coach?
Yeah, I'm kind of honing in on, honestly, women similar to me, women who are, oh, sorry, hold on 1 second. This might be my problem.
Nice one.
So my ideal client is probably a woman similar to myself. She's someone who is, you know, in the helping field, you know, education, healthcare, therapy, social work, somewhere in that realm, who just knows she wants to live a big life, and wants to value and enjoy and just like feel that fulfillment in life. And it's hard when you're in a helping profession and you, I mean, I'm assuming you know this, you get in it for the passion and you're there, but it takes so much out of you. So then you come home and a lot of people, you know, I'm not a parent, but I'm around a lot of mothers who are feel drained when they go home to their own children. And you know, people feeling like they don't have time for their significant others when they go home because they just want everyone to be quiet. So that's something that, you know, I really think if I can help someone enjoy the little moments, stay grounded through the tough times, you know, and really just like live the most fulfilling life they can with the with what they've created.
So how do you think we do enjoy those little moments? You express gratitude kind of being one of like your strengths. Like how do you think we do find those small things of joy and gratitude?
Intentionality, really. I think you have to be intentional about it. I think you have to go about your day with the decision that you're going to look for them, you know, and curiosity.
Was there any books that inspired you to get to this point of thought, or would you just somebody who always liked this growing up?
So, combination. I have just always been obsessed with like all things personal growth. I learned about the law of attraction by watching the Oprah Winfrey show at 3 p.m. for, after school when I was in high school. My mom and I talk about the law of attraction a lot, even still to this day. I love Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I have read, I also like Brené Brown. I saw her Netflix special right around COVID also, and that kind of was one of the gears. I just like eat it all up, honestly. Like I mentioned, the decluttering. I read something about minimalism and the decluttering sort of piece. I'm really into meditation too, and I lead meditations once a week at a local business. Or I'm sorry, once a month, not once a week, but once a month I lead meditations at a local business, and I'm trying to get into a few more. I really enjoy it. I think it's so powerful and just a great way to relax and center yourself and just, get yourself in the right frame of mind for these kind of things. But so I've learned how to meditate from a bunch of different places. Sometimes I just pull up a YouTube video. I've also bought programs. I've also learned, I just do it in any way, shape, or form I can. I take in whatever I see, whatever comes across. I consider it inspired action. When I walk by a book that I'm like, ooh, well, that means I need to grab it. So the 5 a.m. club is my more recent one.
Yes, good book. Love that book. It took an interesting twist in the beginning because I'm trying to remember as best I can. But the guy that was essentially the artist, it was really interesting seeing like how people judged him. But that was the one thing I learned from the book was don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, it's interesting how I've never read a self-help book like that, where they make it like a story, like a personal growth book usually is just pretty straightforward. But that 5 a.m. club is interesting because they turn it into this little like story. There's also a romance, and in all of it is interweaving like all these really helpful personal growth experiences. Pretty cool.
Yeah, are you part of the 5 a.m. club?
Man, I'm trying. Every night when I go to sleep, my husband goes, "What time are you waking up tomorrow?" I say 5. He's like, "Okay, so what time really?" Yeah, no, I'm trying. I'm usually getting up definitely earlier than I used to, and it's probably around like 6:30, which is better than where I was. I'm no longer getting up, rushing, get
No,
ready, and rushing out the door.
yeah, no, I feel like everybody has that run at some point where you're just like, I'm just waking up just to get up and go to work. But I think more importantly, the 5 a.m. club isn't necessarily about just waking up at 5 a.m. I think it's just waking up at a time that creates the most productivity. 'Cause I think sometimes some people do get like super fixated on this particular time and this particular routine to create like this thing of success, and I just don't think that that's realistic. Everybody's life is different. Some people got kids, dogs, different schedules with their partners. It's not always realistic. So finding something that works best for you is great. My next question for you is, what is something you would have told Amber 10 years ago, today? Knowing what you know now.
All right, let me think for a minute. That's a good question.
Take your time. Take your time.
All right, 10 years ago. I'm 34, so when I was 24, what would I tell myself? Probably the same advice I need right now. Just trust in the process, right? Whatever that is, in whatever stage of life you're in, just trust the journey and the process. Lean in. Follow that. I know I mentioned inspired action earlier, like follow that inspired action. Anytime something comes up that you want to say yes to, do it. And it'll work out,
Yeah, is that
There's so many things, really,
it?
but the other thing that came to mind, which I feel like is a more recent lesson that I've learned, is the that I think I feared judgment most of my life, right? I've feared the judgment from other people and, being made fun of or mocked or laughed at for whatever it was I cared about or was excited about or was pursuing. And What's interesting is when I started paying attention to my own judging nature and stopped judging other people, all of a sudden I cared a lot less and feared judgment a lot less. So just kind of like turning that inward. And if I could have changed that at 24 instead of 32, that would have been probably would have been had a big impact.
Yeah, why do you, if you don't mind me asking, why do you think you had such a fear of judgment?
I think it was probably because I was out there judging people, right? Like and I wasn't a mean person. I don't want to paint this picture, but we make these judgments in our heads. It's human nature, really. Like, and I just realized that when I started to just look at people and say, wow, look at them just live their life. Wow, isn't that cool? Isn't that interesting? Whatever it was, even if I disagreed with it or didn't like it or thought something about it was weird or strange, that's not my life. I'm not living that life. Go for it, right? When I took that mentality on, it like freed me from the fear of other people doing that to me. So I don't really know. I don't really know what it was per se, but I mean that was not a coincidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you could paint the picture for your life in the next 10 years, what does it look like?
Oof, it's big. It's big. I want a successful coaching business, and I want freedom, really. My ultimate like vision is freedom. I want time freedom. I want financial freedom. I want to know that I can, have an easy morning, like start my day slowly and focus on what I care about, the bulk of my business, in the productive hours in the middle of the day. And then I want to be able to say, I'm done now, and now my attention turns to my family and my friends and the life that I'm living, right? I want to live my life, and I want my career and the work that I do to be like the vehicle to getting the life that I want. I don't want it to just be all about that, right?
I like that. I
So,
think freedom's important. It
freedom, big
is.
things. Travel. I love to travel. I have a goal to get to all 50 states by the time I'm 40 years old. And I only have 7 states to go and 6 years to do it. So I feel pretty good about that.
What are the 7 states? I'm assuming Alaska's one.
Alaska is one of them, but I have been to Hawaii. So I went to Hawaii as a teenager, actually, because I have a great aunt who had a timeshare. So I had the privilege of going to Hawaii as a 14-year-old,
We love a
which is why it was like the
timeshare.
sixth state I'd ever been to was Hawaii.
Shout out to the timeshare.
Because we weren't big travelers when I was younger, but I did a cross-country road trip when I was 25 with my younger brother, and that just like ignited this bug. And international travel just seemed a little more, daunting, also financially more
Very
challenging. So I just
expensive.
decided I wanted to do the states. So I was like, I'm gonna get to all the states. So I've got Alaska, Montana, North Dakota.
These are somewhat accurate already. Yeah, these are like the least visited places. Yeah, keep
Oklahoma
going.
and Arkansas. And Utah, which I can't believe I haven't been to Utah yet, because
Surprising. Yeah,
I know
surprising.
I really want to get there. And Vermont. Those are the seven.
So yeah, five of the seven.
Makes sense.
I can understand.
Yeah.
I've
So
never heard anybody say, I want to go to Montana. Or North Dakota, just for or Vermont,
yeah.
just because they're trying to travel. But I think that's a good goal, though. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and
That's really cool.
my goal is to do an Alaskan cruise with as many family members and friends that I can get on board for my 40th birthday as the last state, so that it's like I hit the last state, celebrate 40, hopefully celebrate a successful life coaching business by then, so I'm just seeing that as a big milestone for me.
An Alaskan cruise at 40. That's
Yeah.
one shall not judge. That is impressive. That's going into 40 with a bang. My final question for you is, what does it mean to be human to you?
All right. When I think of humanness, I think of relationships and feelings. So I think being human is all about the connections we make and deepening them, right? Like not just having a bunch of friends, but having these like deep conversations with the people you care about, connecting like this. Like, this is incredible, by the way. What you're doing here is incredible. And
Thank you.
this is human. This is humanness, right?
No.
And then also feelings. I just think, like, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the feelings that suck, when we're feeling sad and we're down or whatever it is, or when we're pissed off and angry about something. It's so easy to think of how bad that is, right? When really it is so much of just an experience and the experience of being human. Because if we take the spiritual part and separate it, I believe in something greater. I don't really follow an organized religion. I was raised Catholic and then rebelled pretty hard from that, but I am very spiritual, and I talk about the universe and force and life energy, right? I believe that all of that is super important in everything we're doing. And I think that for the time that we're here on Earth and in these bodies, the experience that the soul or the inner knowing or whatever that you want to call that is getting are the feelings and the relationships. Like, that's what humanness is, in my opinion, for sure.
I love that. That's a good answer. I like that. This is
Thanks.
yeah. And I appreciate that. I think, like I've told so many other people, the whole point of this really is to connect. And I've been doing this for a couple of years, I would say, like back and forth with different variations of this podcast. But I think recently, when I was kind of at the end of, I guess, my desire to do it, I think the one thing that just came back to me was conversation. Like, why, how do I simplify this as best as I can? Is to continue doing something you'd like to do, but also like to meet people. Just again,
Yeah.
meeting somebody for the first time from Pittsburgh. That's never crossed my radar. So
Yeah.
I got family from Philly. So I got a lot of Pennsylvania, obviously, an admiration for it. But yeah, I just never like talked to some random person in Pittsburgh. I just talked to somebody from Toronto. I'm like, I've never been there. So it's just cool to see how social media works. And I think for me is just building something, and I'm just one of your stops in your journey. I think I did my job. That's all I want, is just to kind of connect those things. I'm not looking for nothing crazy out of it, right? At least not right now. It's just like just building genuine connections, conversation with people. And that's sometimes I see the look on your face when y'all done. It's just like, somebody had an interest in just learning more about you. And also, like, somebody listening may find some inspiration in the story. So no, I really do appreciate it. Where can people find you on social media?
I am on Instagram pretty much exclusively. And my handle is the little things coaching, but with periods in between. So the dot little dot things dot coaching.
Okay, and I appreciate that. That will be in the episode description, podcast family, when this comes out. As always, I appreciate you joining. I appreciate those who will be listening, is listening. This has been another episode of Knowing is Knowing. Until next time.